size. Legalize it, yeah, yeah, and I will advertise.
Enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic, so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana, less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
If you're referring to
then
fatalities...
Stop, then I would like to have you supply us with how many overdose deaths there were. Because I have heard from experts that, whose judgment I respect, that they don't know of any. So that would be really important for you to provide, at least to me, if not to the committee. What is more dangerous and addictive? Methamphetamines and cocaine? Or marijuana?
So, you know, I don't think anyone would dispute the fact that there's relative toxicity related to those drugs.
But I'm afraid... What's more dangerous and what is more addictive? Cocaine and meth or marijuana? Pretty simple.
I think that conversation minimizes the harm.
No, I'm not trying to minimize the harm. I want to know which is more dangerous and addictive.
As a public health person, you know, one of the things that we look at is not what's the relative risk of one drug.
Say that I think that your equivocation right there, being unable to answer something clearly and definitively when there is unquestioned evidence to the contrary, is why young people don't believe the propaganda. Why they think it's benign.
Gunnison, and then we have Crested Butte, and Crested Butte is host to Crested Butte Mountain Resort, so it's got the ski industry very much within its culture.
There's a pretty big dichotomy between Gunnison and Crested Butte. Gunnison is historically an agricultural community, traditional blue-collar, permanent community. Crested Butte is definitely a resort-driven community. There's still a segment of our community for sure who is from the very kind of old school train of thought, and it's okay to have liquor stores, and it's okay to have liquor in your house. Marijuana is a different story. You know, marijuana is bad.
I think Crested Butte is a little more open to being on either the leading edge or the bleeding edge, where you're going to experience some mistakes. We embrace people's ability to live the life that they want to lead. From Gunnison's perspective, I think what they've really done is taken a wait-and-see approach. There are certainly advantages to that.
Medical marijuana became legal in the state back in 2000. Amendment 64 comes along and, of course, legalizes the recreational use of marijuana. The town of Crested Butte, again, said, Yep, and City of Gunnison basically said, well, we've already asked our voters about medical marijuana, so we don't really feel the need to ask our voters about recreational marijuana. That was a few years ago. We had a couple of gentlemen in our community approached our city council saying, maybe it's time to reconsider.
My name is Todd Houle. I own Paisan's Pizzeria, Gunnison, Colorado.
I'm Jason Rowland. I work over at the car dealership. Our business together is under the umbrella Green Day Wellness, depending on what the city lets us do.
We have a plan just kind of put everything under one roof. Manufacturing, labeling, your disposal. Have a place you could walk through from, you know, seat to package as you're walking out going, oh, okay, that's how you make a cookie. That's how you make, you know, infused oil. That's how they're making hash.
If a professional like you cannot answer clearly that meth is more dangerous than marijuana, which every kid on the street knows.
A lot of effort and energy has been put into getting this on the ballot. DC Cannabis Campaign was able to gather 57,000 signatures from district residents. I think that's more than actually voted in the primary. You know, this is a two-phase effort. The first one will be to hear the will of the people at the ballot box, and then the second one will be to strongly encourage the city council to take up a comprehensive tax and regulate bill that incorporates racial justice provisions, marijuana record sealing, accounting for communities of color in the economic industry that will, you know, naturally occur once a tax and regulate bill is put in place. So we're really excited.
Organizers from the DC Cannabis Campaign turned in 57,000 signatures. Councilmember Jack Evans has no doubt how it will turn out come November when the public gets to vote.
Oh, I think it'll pass overwhelmingly.
One possible roadblock, though, Congress. Maryland Congressman Andy Harris has already proposed legislation that could block decriminalization, which is set to take effect in 2 weeks.
We should be allowed to vote on this with no interference from the federal government and let the will of the voters be the law.
Submitting the legislation to Congress and then the congressional review period could take a few months. If the voters do approve it and Congress doesn't interfere, it still has to come back here to the DC Council before it would become law and people can start lighting up. And the council's role will add more time.
The council then has to pass something, you know, could be rulemaking authority or something of that nature to implement the law.
Evans says that could take a few more months, which puts us in mid-2015 before legalization could take effect. And if it does make it that far, it'll only be legal for people over 21 to have 2 ounces and 6 plants. Unlike Colorado and Washington State, it would still be illegal to sell it here. The DC Council would then be in a position to pass laws to tax and regulate it so it could be sold just like alcohol.
And had it, the world did not end. A 2013 Gallup poll found that for the first time, a clear majority of Americans, 58%, say marijuana should be legalized. Certainly many people are opposed, and for a variety of reasons. But where is the big lobbying-level opposition to legalization coming from? You might be surprised. Li Fang is a reporting fellow with the Investigative Fund at the Nation Institute. He followed that basic journalistic tenet, follow the money, for his recent article, The Real Reason Pot is Still Illegal. He joins us now by phone from the Bay Area. Welcome back to Counterspin, Li Fang.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Well, you note that since 1996, 22 states and D.C. have legalized or effectively decriminalized medical marijuana. And across the country, lawmakers are looking at easing up on penalties and even at recategorizing marijuana as not a Schedule I drug, which classes it with heroin and LSD. There's a zeitgeist, if you will, toward decriminalization and legalization and what some would call common sense. on the issue, particularly when we compare health and social impacts of marijuana with that of other drugs like alcohol. Now, we might expect some pushback from law enforcement, for example, and I'm going to ask about that, but your reporting found another elephant in the room, if you will. Tell us what you learned.
That's right, Janine. The largest, most powerful political opponents of marijuana reform, they argue that legalization is inherently dangerous. But if you look closely onto some of their motivations, the funding, the biggest threat is to their bottom line and to the bottom line of some of their funders. So one of the organizations that has taken a lead role in battling marijuana reform is the Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America. They've got a wide reach on Capitol Hill and throughout the country with many different affiliates, many different volunteers and organizers. What's interesting is that they've derived a significant amount of their funding over the years from the prescription drug industry, specifically from painkiller companies. And this is interesting because if you look at their approach to dangerous drugs, there's a big dichotomy. On prescription drugs, which the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, say is the most important drug epidemic in the country, that 16,000 Americans are dying every year from painkiller abuse and overdose. CADCA, the Community Anti-Drug Coalition of America, has taken a light touch. They haven't called for reforming the way we prescribe these drugs. They've refused to join coalitions to change the labeling of these drugs. And in some cases, they're actually promoting the government reimbursing for Medicaid on paying for more of these opioids. On the other hand, on marijuana, that's where they're spending all their resources. You know, this is a drug that there are no known overdose deaths. It's far less addictive. And yet, at the same time, CADCA has become obsessed and a strong force in beating back efforts to reform pot laws.
Hey, everybody, this is DJ Furious George, Dr. Furious, and it's like 10 o'clock Thursday night, downtown Carrboro, WCOMLP Chapel Hill, Carrboro, WCOM FM, Micropower Radio Radio. I'm Furious. I do this every Thursday as a way to kind of take on different issues, and I guess you could probably tell what tonight's issue may be. We are legalizing it all over the place. Looks like D.C. is the latest. They might be voting on that come up in November. So that just came out recently. And all these other amazing things that are happening on marijuana reform, including the New York Times supporting full legalization and other fun things. So we'll spotlight that tonight. You can learn more about the Furious George Show at furiousg.blogspot.com, where you can hear about what, you know, crazy issues we've taken on, whatever crazy ish is going down. But also, we'll throw in some crazy hip-hop in the background. That there's DJ Clammy Clams. We've had him and some other fun stuff from Flying Lotus, who's going to be coming through town in Chapel Hill, believe it or not. And we're also going to be spotlighting some craziness from this guy named Lunas, who's coming through. We're going to be at the Hopscotch Festival. Looks like Furious George is going to be at the Hopscotch, sponsored or you know representing WCOM, where I will have a photo pass and get to go do some fun, get some good access to the different good stuff going down there, including De La Soul. Yes, one of Furious's first, most influential, favorite all-time, fantastic. De La's the best. So they're real, old school, and they're going to be at Hopscotch too, and so, you know, thanks to them for letting WCOM and Furious get closer for free. Anyway, we're going to be getting back into it. Thanks for listening to Micropower Radio. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm Furious!
So drink. I don't do drugs anymore. I used to take drugs and I quit. But I'll tell you something. I have nothing against drugs whatsoever. That's kind of weird, huh? You've never heard that one. Used to take drugs, quit, and have nothing against them. Wow, never heard that. Let's hear more. Okay. I'll tell you something else. I know this is not a very popular idea. You don't hear it very often anymore. But it's the truth. I have taken drugs before, and I had a real good time. Sorry.
If you can answer that, maybe that's why we're failing. I don't want to keep smoking marijuana. I agree with the chairman. But if the deputy director of the Office of Drug Policy can't answer that question, how do you expect high school kids to take you seriously?
So, Representative, I didn't mean to be disrespectful, and I didn't mean to indicate that there is not that is not different degrees of toxicity associated with different
drugs. I asked
drugs.
What was more dangerous. You couldn't answer it.
No.
And I just want to say that you, sir, represent what's part of the problem. Let me go a little further.
So, sir, that's Let's exactly not what I'm saying.
What kills more people, tobacco or marijuana?
You know, there's been a fair amount of tobacco-associated deaths.
Washington State legalized marijuana for recreational use in 2012. Starting Tuesday, it will be available to sell. But pot won't be available for sale just anywhere. Within the Seattle city limits, only one shop will be open.
2,265. That's how many 2-gram bags Cannabis City will have to fill these empty cabinets with come Tuesday. Not even close to enough product for the 5,000 people they expect.
The New York Times points out other cities that had more opposition against the drug's legalization will see more shops than Seattle. Vancouver, about 1/4 Seattle size in a largely conservative county that has tried to slow or stop marijuana businesses or restrict land use rules, could have 3 shops. Tacoma, also in a county that has tried to block marijuana businesses, may have 4.
Yes, and when it comes to pot, it's a very hard line. You know, you can't slip down that slope. But when the conversation comes to painkillers, then it's complicated, and maybe education is really all that really needs to happen. It seems like a hypocrisy, straight up.
Yeah, it's, you know, I would say it's hypocrisy. You know, earlier this year, CADCA had its big convention. They had former Congressman Patrick Kennedy, who has become kind of a spokesman for this movement against reforming pot laws, gave a rah-rah speech about how we need to beat back these efforts across the country to legalize, decriminalize, and introduce medical marijuana. And what's interesting is that that convention, like CADCA's main budget, was underwritten by Purdue Pharma, the makers of OxyContin, one of the most abused drugs in America. And what's kind of doubly interesting here is that Patrick Kennedy had to resign Congress in disgrace because it came out that he was abusing alcohol, cocaine, and OxyContin. He was addicted to OxyContin. And yet, so he was at this rally focused narrowly on marijuana, saying that this is the biggest danger to society. But his appearance that day was sponsored by the drug that actually poses a much bigger threat and actually ruined his career, and that's OxyContin.
Anybody didn't lose one fucking job, laughed my ass off, and went about my day. Sorry. Now, where's my commercial? Shit, I'll be the guy holding that skillet in that commercial, man. That ain't a brain, that's breakfast. Let's eat. What have we been up, 5 days now? I'm fucking starving. I find that commercial a tad insulting to my intelligence. You know the one? Here's your brain. I've seen a lot of things on drugs, but I have never, ever, ever looked at an egg and thought it was a fucking brain. Not once. I have seen UFOs split the sky like a sheet, but I have never looked at an egg and thought it was a fucking brain. Not once. I have had 7 balls of light come off of a UFO, lead me onto their ship, explain to me telepathically that we are all one and there's no such thing as death. But I've never looked at an egg and thought it was a fucking brain. Now, maybe I wasn't getting good shit, but stand is all day long we see those commercials. Here's your brain, here's your brain on drugs, just say no. Why do you think they call it dope? And then the next commercial is this bud's for you. Come on everybody, let's be hypocritical bastards. Okay to drink your drug. We meant those other drugs, those untaxed drugs. Those are the ones that are bad for you.
Stories of marijuana legalization?
You know, Janine, there are very good reports out there and substantive reporting on the drug war, on criminal justice reform. But if you look at the big picture, there's still huge problems. And one great example is the recent coverage of the border crisis of all of these immigrant families, of these children who are refugees of the drug war who are coming to the border. But if you look at the coverage, the context isn't there. You don't see reporters explaining that many of these families are escaping drug cartels, drug wars that have been funded by U.S. tax dollars in Latin America. Instead, it's kind of seen as a political football. And if you look closely at legislative efforts to reform marijuana and the big ballot measures this year, you don't see the money and politics angle of these lobbying debates. So that's unfortunate.
Well, if we're going to talk about drug war, then that also brings in law enforcement, and your piece does address that as well.
Yeah, law enforcement is the other kind of big muscle brought to bear on these marijuana fights. If you talk to rank and file police officers, many of them would not like to prioritize marijuana, but there are strong financial incentives that have basically brought all of their lobbyists, their representatives, their law enforcement unions into fighting marijuana reform tooth and nail. And that's because marijuana has simply become a cash cow. Law enforcement. And there's two reasons for that. The first reason is that since the Reagan years, law enforcement has been encouraged to use something called asset forfeiture in drug busts. So when they go after marijuana or other drugs, they're able to seize any property associated with drug dealers and auction it off. In some cases, pocketing the money individually for the officers, other times the money going directly to police departments. And this is big money because marijuana is one of the easiest drugs to go after. Between 2002 and 2012, law enforcement collected about $1 billion from marijuana busts. So this is a huge source of revenue that they would not like to give up. And the other big aspect of this is that for many years, the Department of Justice has authorized grant programs, grant money to law enforcement with strings attached, saying that they must prioritize drug busts. And again, the easiest type of drug bust is marijuana. I've talked to state legislators who have met with law enforcement as they're dealing with this type of legislation, and they're fighting marijuana reform. In public, they'll say that this is because they don't want another dangerous drug on the streets, but in private, they've been telling these politicians, we don't want to lose the money.
So many tourists flocking here to buy pot.
January, February, there was a line outside the door every single place.
No one's running out of product anymore.
Nope.
They were closing their doors running out of product
right,
in January.
Right.
The fact that marijuana is now in our economy is huge. Marijuana alone can grow GDP, which is wild.
We were all so excited when it got legalized. It was like, yay, do whatever, cool, it's legal, you know? And now we're taking a step back and going, wait a minute, you gotta do it right also.
You're an adult who enjoys a good beer? There's a similar product you might want to know about.
One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way.
It's been interesting because the people talk about it so openly. And there are a lot of people that you don't know if they smoke or not, and you don't think about it too much, but now you know. It's very obvious because they talk about it regularly.
The confusion by both the public and then the officers on what is legal and illegal. The whole landscape has changed and nothing is really consistent right now. So you have people doing things that they think are right and they aren't, and they're getting in trouble.
Pot for Gunnison County has been around and part of our culture for decades. From 2011 to 2012, students' perception of risk seemed to decrease significantly. They no longer saw pot use as risky as they did.
My challenge, and the reason I'm hesitating about answering the questions as it relates to relative risk, is I think many times that conversation gets distorted, that there's no risk, that there's...
I'm not trying to trap you.
No. But this is why, Representative, I don't want to be disrespectful.
Let me suggest that your inability to answer me whether tobacco or marijuana is more dangerous, again, is part of the problem. Mr. Connolly documented very clearly that we have been able to drop dramatically tobacco use. And it kills more people than marijuana, if you don't know that.
And at that time was when Amendment 64 was coming through. We had a couple of different strategies to go out and try to influence how people believe, and potentially some of that worked. Between 2012 and 2013, we saw that perception of risk go in the opposite direction, which is the direction we ultimately want, because if they perceive pot to be more risky, they're less likely to use it. Amendment 64 came in, and it was modeled after some of the regulations for alcohol. The argument was, well, if you regulate it like alcohol, and you have 40% of our Colorado high school students using alcohol on a regular basis, are we now going to have 40% of the students using marijuana on a regular basis? Access for students is reported as harder to get now than it was 2 years ago. How much of that is due to the legalization? I don't know.
Double rainbow all the way. Whoa, that's so intense. Whoa, man.
News. Why you go to
is reeling from Super Rainbow Percival, which left a trail of devastation along the West Coast. Luminous band of destruction touched down in Santa Barbara, wreaked havoc as far north as Napa. Percival set a record as the most powerful rainbow in U.S. history, with at least 30 confirmed fatalities, damage estimates in the billions. The vividly saturated
colors. Oh my God, look at that. It's starting to even look like a triple rainbow. Fury say they're lucky
to be alive. The sky was completely blue. All of a sudden, it's filled with brilliant hues of red and indigo.
All I can say is when I was a kid, rainbows didn't cut people in half.
Meteorologists say that Percival is just the latest in a pattern of increasingly dangerous rainbows, and that they're only growing stronger as global temperatures rise. Percival also comes on the heels of some extreme weather phenomena overseas. Authorities in the Philippines are still searching for thousands in the aftermath of mega sunset Wilma. Our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone affected by this tragedy.
This week, President Obama visited the new marijuana capital of America, Colorado. So naturally, he was offered a joint.
Here we go, bro.
But the president laughed it off, a hearty guffaw. Meanwhile, he's perpetuating a drug war that's thrown millions of nonviolent offenders in prison, ripped apart families and communities at a cost of billions of dollars a year. But there's actually another force working hard to keep marijuana illegal, and it's not the prison industrial complex nor the bacon bowl. Sam Sachs tells us more from the redacted front lines.
This week, we lost Washington State. It joined Colorado, becoming one of only two states where you can legally buy weed. Like in actual stores and shit. You don't have to go to this guy and pretend to enjoy rave music with him anymore. Now, with news reports on marijuana, it's become vogue for the reporter to really get into the story, to experiment with what they're reporting on.
I think we got a little bit of a contact high there.
I'm going to do something different. I'm going to not get high during this entire report. Oh, this is going to be tough. This is going to be really hard. With marijuana legally on sale in the state, Washingtonians can expect the same drug-fueled dystopia that engulfed Colorado, which started slinging its own dope late last year. And that is lower crime rates, thousands of new jobs, and millions of dollars in new tax revenue. Which might not sound so bad to you, but you're not a pharmaceutical company or a corrections corporation, which we know are both people.
Corporations are people, my friend.
I'm not your friend. Dozens of other states are considering loosening marijuana restrictions, and a handful of those are considering going full reefer madness and legalizing it like Colorado and Washington. For the first time, a majority of Americans around the country now support marijuana legalization. But still, there are forces out there who want to keep the war going, and who don't want you getting high. Scratch that, who don't want you getting high on pot. As investigative journalist Lee Fong has uncovered, the real reason pot is still illegal in most of the country is because pharmaceutical companies want you taking their drugs instead. Marijuana is proven to have medicinal value, and it doesn't kill 16,000 people a year like prescription painkillers. However, since it's grown fairly easily, it can't make the pharmaceutical company billions of dollars, which now has Americans consuming roughly 100% of the world's hydrocodone supply, half of which is consumed by this guy. And to make sure none of these pill heads turn into potheads,
shut up.
Big Pharma is funneling some of its addiction money into making sure pot is never legal. Take, for example, the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids. Confidential financial disclosures show that the group's largest donors include Purdue Pharma, the manufacturer of OxyContin, and Abbott Laboratories, maker of the opioid Vicodin. And what about the Community Anti-Drug Coalition of America, CADCA, the largest anti-marijuana reform organization out there? Turns out CADCA also counts Purdue Pharma as a major supporter, as well as Alkermes, the maker of a powerful and extremely controversial new painkiller called Zohydrol, which is reportedly 10 times stronger than OxyContin. Ultimately, what this comes down to is protecting markets and profits. Big Pharma has the painkiller market of billions of dollars on lockdown, but for only as long as marijuana remains mostly illegal. And not just illegal, but the most illegal drug. Despite lawmakers calling on the Drug Enforcement Agency to update its drug schedules to reflect modern science on the actual risks of marijuana, these Big Pharma-funded organizations have lobbied the Justice Department to make sure that marijuana remains a Schedule 1 drug, alongside heroin, LSD, and ecstasy. But surely we can expect the DEA, an agency not run for profit that doesn't have its fingers in the painkiller biz, to know better and to finally recognize pot for what it is, a drug that's mostly harmless and has many medicinal benefits.
Is crack worse for a person than marijuana?
I believe all illegal drugs are bad.
Is methamphetamine worse for somebody's health than marijuana?
I don't think any illegal drug
is
good.
Is heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
Again,
I'm asking you a very straightforward question. Is heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
All illegal drugs are bad.
Well, maybe she's got a point. After all, when you're on pot and you're just sitting around eating Nilla wafers, watching American Ninja Warrior, you are contributing to the downfall of the painkiller pharmaceutical industry, which is a person. So that's kind of like murder. In Washington, D.C., Sam Sachs.
FOSTA has already introduced a bill to do just that.
The question then is, how do we go forward and regulate it properly?
In the district, Mark Z. Graves, News 4. Review period could take a few months.
If the voters do approve it and Congress doesn't interfere, it still has to come back here to the DC Council before it would become law and people can start lighting up.
Oh my God, full on. Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh God. What is this?
Running by New Belgium.
Oh.
Percival, which left a trail of devastation along the west coast. A luminous band of destruction touched down in Santa Barbara and wreaked havoc as far north as Napa. Percival set a record as the most powerful rainbow in U.S. history, with at least 30 confirmed fatalities and damage estimates in the billions. The vividly saturated colors seared through homes and roads, charring everything in its path. Those exposed to the rainbow's fury say they're lucky to be alive.
The sky was completely blue. All of a sudden, it's filled with brilliant hues of red and indigo.
All I can say is when I was a kid,
rainbows didn't cut people in half.
Meteorologists say that Percival is just the latest in a pattern of increasingly dangerous rainbows, as they're only growing stronger as global temperatures rise. Percival also comes on the heels of some extreme weather phenomena overseas. Authorities in the Philippines are still searching for thousands in the aftermath of mega sunset Wilma.
Very, very regulated. I sit down with dispensary owners all the time and learn about all the hoops and pieces that they have to go through to track everything. It's regulated much more than the alcohol industry is.
We have people that have come in constantly saying, we've waited 30 years for this, or we can't believe this has finally happened. I'm from another state, I wish our state would do this. It's almost like coming out of the closet. People that have been doing this for a long time, feeling guilty about it, are now able to do this legally. Two things that have really surprised me the most between having the medical business and the recreational business is the amount of people coming in for medical reasons has doubled, because there's no fear of having a card or being on a list or anything.
Here we are, thank you very much.
Under the medical license, we had a lot more younger people. The average age of our customers now coming into the store probably is late 40s. You know, I think the only tax that I would probably have difficulty with is the federal penalty that we incur. We are not allowed as a normal business to deduct any administrative costs. So all of the payroll and everything in this office here, we can't deduct that. So basically we have to pay tax on phantom income. Right now we're sitting at almost 56% of our income goes to taxes like the excise tax. Think about how many jobs this industry is creating. Thousands and thousands of jobs. We're drawing people into this town. They now come in, they're staying at the hotel, they're going to the restaurants, and everybody's tax base is now increasing. The black market, their tax base is zero. You make it too expensive and people just go, oh, I'm just going to the black market.
The industry is already here. The product is already being consumed in multiple forms. We're just not capitalizing on the potential sales tax revenue that could come in. We are proposing right now a 5% sales tax on the retail sales, and then a 5% excess tax, or I'm calling it an export tax.
Now that marijuana is legalized in the state of Colorado, we can start having honest conversations about it.
We just want to end up on the right side of history. Move forward in a positive light in this and make sure it does work hand in hand with communities, because it's not going away.
Judges smoking.
the law yet. So you got to legalize it. And don't criticize it. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. And I will advertise. Good for the food, good for asthma, good for tuberculosis, even humara thrombosis. Got to legalize it. Don't criticize it. Legalize it, yeah, yeah. I will advertise it. Birds eat it. Ants love it. Fowls eat it. Goats love to play with it. So you got to legalize it. And don't criticize it. Legalize.
Nicotine, alcohol, good drugs. Coincidentally, tax drugs. Ooh, how does this fucking work? Thank God they're taxing alcohol, man. It means we got those good roads we can get fucked up and drive on. Thank God they're taxing this shit, man. We'd be doing donuts in a wheat field right now. Thank God we're on a highway. Woo, this is a good drug. I'll tell you something, I'll be honest, man. If I were going to legalize a drug, it sure wouldn't have been alcohol. Sorry, there's better drugs and better drugs for you. That's a fact. You may stop your internal dialogue. But Bill, alcohol is an acceptable part. Shut the fuck up. Now I'm on the road trying to find out where the lanes go. I don't even know. I don't even know. And I don't really smoke, but this was just one of those days, yo. You're wrong. Okay? Okay. Shit, man. Not only do I think marijuana should be legalized, I think it should be mandatory.
All right, then. Well, let's hope that as this story goes forward, as it will, journalists turn from sort of the sillier aspects of marijuana legalization and legislation and get into some of this more serious material like you're doing. Can we, you think that's going to happen?
Fingers crossed.
Okay, then. We've been speaking with Lee Fang. You can... Is that a green light? I don't even know. I don't even
know. I'm a hardliner.
Oh my God.
Think about it, man. You're getting traffic behind somebody.
Oh. Oh. God. It's so bright. Oh my God. It's so bright and vivid. Oh. Oh. Oh.
Shut up and smoke that.
Ha ha ha!
It's the law. Oh, sorry, I was taking life seriously.
Stay getting lifted, man. Doing donuts while I'm switching lanes.
Tell a bad bitch, girl, let's go hang. You know me, bro, let's go chain. Fuck my young niggas, that's okay. Get so drunk, you get your name.
Working LP, fuck boys. Know the combination ain't healthy. Tell me if you smell the marijuana hanging off my breath, blowing smoke, and I'm coughing like I'm damn near death. If I died right now, I would be so fresh to death. They would have to say that fat motherfucker coughing fresh. Goddamn fat bastard, wear that motherfucker casket. But nah, baby, you gon' get this here vertical. Every word murderful, surgical, painful, purposeful. And I'm taking left off your fuck list personal. Ooh, they done let that fucking mic out. It's like Tyson in the 80s, nigga, snap and put your lights out. Yeah, yeah, it's like Tyson in the 90s. If I'm losing, take a bite out. I'm so motherfucking grimy, so motherfucking greedy, gritty. Mama said she couldn't breastfeed cause I was biting at the titty. Beep, beep.
So I think we burned our bridges. Beep.
Fuck boys, think about it. Fuck you gonna sell me? You don't know a thing about us. Women dose with ayahuasca, drum circle and sing about us. Dolphins prone to rape, we'll hear the tape and stop to think about it. Monks won't immolate themselves until the record hits the shelf. Yetis walk right out the woods to comment without thinking about it. Workers at the sweatshop cause they bossed out how the vets drop. Worker ants around the queen and chew the bitch's head off. Drunk dogs bark, tour bus with a park. Priests take the cock out of their mouths to hum along when the chorus drop. The least we are the most beef and Brock on your fucking block. The bass make a wail off of the coast screen.
Y'all gotta stop.
Used to be the new kid till I grew into that new shit. Emperors, they hear the tunes, admit that they are nudists. Move, we coming through and we are ruthless. Mama said I wouldn't leave the room without a Yankee and some new kids. New kid, new kid.
So I think we burned our bridges.
Com FM. This is Furious George. Some serious running of the jewels there. And Killer Mike LP. And of course, we're blasting some old school Cypress Hill instrumental there. Want to Get High, an old 90s album. Which is just so appropriate given our topic tonight with congressmen beating up on the drug agencies and the exposing the corporate interests and the pain-killing companies that are behind a lot of the blocks of legalization, and Bill Hicks and Deadly Super Rainbows and some other fun stuff. So if you like what you're hearing, you like Micropower Radio, Furious George will be here next Thursday from 10 to 12. This is just the completion of the first hour. So you can check out furiousg.blogspot.com for some old school shows. Also, we are going to, you know, play on some more of these themes here and have fun while we do it. The show may be offensive if you haven't figured that out already. Also, just got to say, WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carborough, we need your support. Go to WCOM.org and you can learn about the studio. WCOMFM.org. And help us out. So So that's the easiest way to keep what you're hearing going. Among other things, also have to say thanks to our generous anonymous underwriter who's rocking out right now, and others who hopefully are checking out the cool beats. It's a fun one that we've always been blasting here on the Furious George Show. Here's another one, again, Flying Lotus. If you know anything about the Furious Show, we've been playing Flying Lotus for years. He's coming through Carrboro right here, right in this parking lot where Furious is chilling. And I've already got tickets, and I've already been talking to the folks who are promoting it. We might be able to give away some free tickets and do some other fun promotion stuff. Maybe even interview the guy. We'll see what happens. Good stuff. Speaking of which, here's a fun underground Fly Low show song called The Kill. And I will be happy to share more of this and other Furious stuff in the future. Thanks for listening to Mike Powell Radio. I'm Furious.